In a moment, a classic discussion of what tourists should do or not do in the presence of natural splendor. But first, we note an odd piece of, for lack of a better term, global tourism. For centuries, there's always been something about Egypt. For good or ill, Egypt's pyramids, mummies, and obelisks have attracted the attention of souvenir hunters, from the super rich who can just rip off whole sphinxes to small-scale trinket collectors. There's Egypt the country, and then there's Egypt the idea, the pyramid hieroglyphic deco aesthetic, which has both nothing and everything to do with the actual Egypt. It's a story told by author Bob Breyer in his book Egyptomania, Our 3,000-Year Obsession with the Land of the Pharaohs. He's also a senior research fellow at Long Island University who comes by this obsession rightly. He's been a collector of Egypt paraphernalia for decades.
I'm an Egyptologist, and I have been collecting Egyptomania or Egyptotrash. You know, I collect anything Egyptian, but I never really reflected on why am I doing this. And then I started talking with other friends who collect this sort of thing, and then we sort of tried to figure out why are we doing this and why is everybody fascinated with Egypt.
And how much of the sort of Egypt iconography in popular culture? I mean, as you began to do this investigation, I mean, you can find, you know, I Love Lucy episodes that have as much iconography as you know, something you'd find in the middle of Cairo.
Oh, it's coming out of the kazoo. I mean, you know, you can walk in a cemetery and you've got obelisks, right? And you've got all these crypts that are made like Egyptian tombs. They're cereal boxes. There are cereals called Kemet, which is the ancient Egyptian word for Egypt. Kemet flakes, which claim that they're made out of, you know, a grain like they grew in Egypt. So it's all over the place, all over.
Now, we talked with a lot of Egyptians who are struggling, of course, with their current political situation. And, you know, they say without any self-consciousness whatsoever, hey, we invented civilization. Does that explain the fascination of Western civilization with Egypt's sort of iconography and approach to the world?
No, not at all, John. I don't think that's the reason. I mean, I don't think people are fascinated with Egypt because, gee, look, they invented civilization. No way. I mean, you don't get this interest with Greece, and Greece is the one that's always hyping itself as the source of Western civilization. It's something deeper. It's something more primal that gets people to build their houses in the shapes of pyramids and, you know, this kind of thing. It's much deeper, we think.
And deeper in the sense that the geometry of the pyramid and the notion of mummies and the afterlife – these have a kind of a deep resonance that simple democracy just really doesn't have.
Yeah, it's not an intellectual concept that draws in people. I think it's more emotional. For example, I think one of the appeals is immortality. One of the big things that Egypt has and nobody else has are mummies. That is, we have the temples and the tombs, but we have the people who built them. You can actually look on the face of Ramses the Great, a face from the Bible, and see what he looked like. And that's incredible. And I think what happens is you look at a mummy, he's 3,000 years old, he's a recognizable human being, and he hasn't turned to dust. He's, in a way, he's cheated death. And I think we're a little bit envious. And I think that's why people put obelisks by their tombs and they build their tombs. You know, if you have an Egyptian-shaped sepulcher, you're going to live forever. So I think there's a bit of immortality envy there.
The hieroglyphics are not something we understand, yet they're ubiquitous.
Yeah, well, one correction. We do understand them. We can translate them. They're not, but they do seem mysterious to everybody, and that's a big appeal also, these mysterious hieroglyphs that, you know, the ducks and the birds and the images, and they're just so exotic. I think it's a kind of escapism. I taught a course years ago at the New School for Social Research in New York City.
Yep.
It was a course in hieroglyphs. I had 100 people in the course wanting to learn hieroglyphs.
My daughter, age 7, in her first or second grade class, studied Egypt and came home one day signing her name in hieroglyphs.
Good kid, good kid.
Could not have been prouder. She still does it.
Yep. And they don't do it in Greek, do they?
No.
No, there's something about hieroglyphs. There's this mystery. There's a little bit of an Indiana Jones syndrome there too, I think.
You know? I don't even know if it's Indiana Jones because I think the hieroglyphs would be just as powerful even if there was no Rosetta Stone to translate them.
They are very, very graphic images. They look like things. And you wonder what it's all about. No, there's something about hieroglyphs that is very special, very special.
Take me through Egypt kitsch. You must have a bunch of it.
Yeah, we have the advanced stages of the disease. We have 3 apartments, which is full of this stuff. And we like the high-end stuff. Like, we got really good stuff, like a Wedgwood tea service done in 1808 to celebrate the defeat of Bonaparte at the Battle of Aboukir, stuff like that, which is really cool. So you got a teapot with crocodile handles, you know, and hieroglyphs all around it. So that's the up end, right? But I've got the Egyptotrash, too. I mean, for example, Barbie on the Nile doll, stuff like that. I try to get it all.
How much of this is an insult to Egyptian culture and an acknowledgement or a reminder that so much was ripped off of their natural treasure and heritage?
I don't think any of it's an insult. I really don't. A lot of the antiquities we have were gotten legally. That's okay. I mean, things that were stolen, that's wrong, of course. But one of the things that's funny, and it's part of the reason why I think people don't talk about the Egyptomania, is the Egyptians themselves aren't into that culture. You know, they're not descendants of the pharaohs.
Fascination, but not continuity, I guess would be the
way
of saying it.
Well put.
What do you think George Washington would have thought of the obelisk in his memory in Washington, D.C.? That's an Egyptian reference.
He'd be all for it, all for it. You know, most of the founding fathers were Masons, Freemasons.
Right.
And they felt that Masonic lore went back to ancient Egypt. So George Washington would have loved it. I mean, that's why we have a dollar bill with a pyramid on the back. These guys were Masons.
Is there anything you would love to find if you could stumble upon something buried somewhere and basically have the experience that the grand Egyptologist ripoff artists of the last 150 years had?
Well, I'll tell you, there are a couple of things out there waiting to be found. One is the tomb of Alexander the Great, which is in Egypt. He was buried in Egypt. He's a Greek who, again, was an Egyptomaniac. He wanted to be like the Egyptians. You know, as soon as he beat the Persians, he went into Egypt and had himself crowned pharaoh because he wanted to live like a god. And he was buried in Egypt, in Alexandria, and his tomb hasn't been found yet. So there are big ones out there waiting. And I'd like that one, please.
All right. Well, good luck. Good luck on finding that one. And Alexandria is a lovely place, even if you can't find the tomb.
Right.
Bob Breyer is the author of Egyptomania, Our 3,000-Year Obsession with the Land of the Pharaohs. He's also a senior research fellow at Long Island University. Thanks so much.
A pleasure.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here? And maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.